Hello, my name is Chip Lang, and you're listening to Total EM. This has been a podcast that was requested a few months back, and if you're the one who requested it, my deep apologies for taking this long, but I had to find a great time to tuck this in, and this happened to be the great time to do that. That is, we're going to talk about tibial plateau fractures in this podcast. So tibial plateau fractures can be easily missed, especially to the untrained eye. And missing these important fractures can have devastating outcomes. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about this more in detail with kind of some basic stuff and working our way up. Now, while uncommon, tibial plateau fractures account for approximately 1% of all fractures and are usually seen with high energy mechanisms such as a motor vehicle collision, fall from a significant height, or extreme sports. However, those with osteoporosis can have less severe mechanisms causing these fractures, which can make the diagnosis sometimes more challenging. These fractures can cause damage to the nearby vasculature, nerves, ligaments, menisci, and adjacent compartments. Typically, these patients will need some form of surgical management. So let's talk about a little bit on the anatomy side. The tibia is the weight-bearing bone of the lower leg and has two articular surfaces at the tibial plateau. The medial tibial condyle bears 60% of the knee's weight and is thicker. The lateral condyle is located slightly more proximal than the medial tibial condyle. It is also more convex in shape, thinner, and weaker compared to the concave medial tibial condyle. Between the two is the intercondylar eminence and serves as an attachment point for the ACL. There are other structures such as the menisci and ligaments of the knee that come into contact with the proximal tibia and can all be injured with these fractures. Compartment syndrome is possible with the anterior, posterior, and deep compartments of the lower leg. The popliteal artery runs posterior to the knee and is the main artery of concern with such fractures. So how would we assess this? Well, given that this often occurs with severe mechanisms, it is important to assess for other injuries. In addition to expected knee pain, patients can often have swelling and possibly a deformity of the knee. Open fractures can occur, and so the skin should be closely assessed. The risk of neurovascular injuries prompts close evaluation of sensation, motor function, and distal pulses. Ankle brachial indices, or ABIs, can be used to assess for a difference between the extremities. Laxity of more than 10 degrees at the joint line with varus and valgus stress suggests a tear of the collateral ligaments. If there's laxity below the joint line, this is indicative of a displaced fracture. Usually, range of motion is difficult to assess due to the pain of the patient, and often the patient will not even attempt to try weight bearing due to pain. When it comes to imaging, the initial study of choice is usually plain x-rays, but their sensitivity is only 79% with lateral plateau fractures and is only increased to 85% when adding oblique views. The presence of lipohemarthrosis can be seen in occult fractures. And if you're not sure what I'm talking about, I do have images in the show notes, so please go to podcast 184 to see the images with some arrows that help point to what we're talking about. When there is high suspicion based on the mechanism or presentation, such as an inability to bear weight or severe pain, CT should be the next step, as MRI is usually not feasible in emergency settings. Even when a fracture has been identified, many orthopedic surgeons still prefer having the CT to better evaluate injuries, and this should be known just because you're going to run into this quite frequently, where they're going to ask you to get the CT even after you've had the x-ray performed and it's positive. I've included also an MRI that kind of helps show a little bit more about how sometimes there may be no definite evidence of a fracture on x-ray, but either a CT or MRI can like really just show the diagnosis. When it comes to the management, the biggest thing that I can stress is pain control. I often see that these patients just don't get the pain control, may not be taken as seriously because they are in so much pain that it may seem dramatic in nature. So if you do have someone with a lot of knee pain, especially who's not able to bear weight, make sure to get a CT for further evaluation and consider admitting the patient if sometimes you can't get it right away due to the pain or because of the inability to get MRI. Whatever the case may be, the pain control is often going to be a big factor. And like I said, a lot of these patients won't even try to bear weight on this. These types of fractures are ones that usually require surgical management and immediate orthopedic consult. We, like I said, may sometimes feel like these patients are exaggerating their pain, especially when it's not high in our differential that these patients have tibial plateau fractures. But once you have identified it, you want to make sure to consult the orthopedic surgeon, as these are very important fractures even when they're non-displaced. The rates of complications are high, especially with the neurovascular injuries, as we discussed in the anatomy side, compartment syndrome, and even infection. In most cases, surgery will be needed, as has been emphasized already, but there are a few exceptions. This will be decided by the orthopedic surgeon, though, and not by you, the emergency medicine clinician. Infection and other complications, such as deep venous thrombosis, are concerns for surgery and relatively common. Even when prophylactic antibiotics are given, the infection rate can be over 20%. It is important to know that these injuries will take months to recover, which is not something you want to tell patients right away and can be very upsetting for patients who are already in quite a bit of pain, but it's worth noting to say that there is going to be a recovery time with this that can take months and may even take longer for the patient's pain to be well under control and the patient to return to some form of a baseline. This was truly meant to be a rapid review, but I do have images that I want you to go back and look at. And if you have been working in emergency medicine any length of time, you will most likely see a tibial plateau fracture. I know I've seen a few at this point, and they really stick out in my mind. These are usually patients with impressive presentations, but sometimes they can be more subtle. Think about the person who is elderly, altered, with osteoporosis, and is non-weight-bearing. These are patients who most likely may get admitted for their altered mental status, but we should encourage further evaluation if we can't do it right away for CT or MRI when we have negative plain films. Overall, when I see these patients, what I think about is the pain control and the impressive picture, but I would highly encourage you to look into this a little bit more. Talk to your orthopedic surgeons anytime this comes up. And give realistic expectations to these patients regarding the pain control and the time to recovery. I hope that you find this beneficial. If you've enjoyed this and you're like, hey, I have something else that I want to have covered, usually I'll cover it, you know, a little bit faster than a few months out. And so please contact me. Or if you say you have a subject that you feel really strong that you want to talk about, contact me there as well. I really like the podcast series. If you notice, we've had IPV educators, we've had the EMDID podcast series, and we have some others that we're working on as well. We also have the POCUS series that I've been hosting, but I'd be happy to have a co-host or someone else to help me with that. So if any of these interest you, if you want to get into a little bit more podcasting, maybe you've already done some or you want to do more with it, or you just enjoy being able to share the knowledge, reach out to me at thetotallyem@gmail.com. I am always happy to hear stuff back. Or you can go to the website and contact me through there. Either way is fine. But I really hope that you guys can take something away from this. You can let me know about future topics that you would like to have discussed on the podcast, such as these tibial plateau fractures. One last thing I do want to add in, although not directly related to imaging with tibial plateau fractures, but I think could be beneficial, is to look at practicalpocus.com, because they have a new ultrasound course that is coming up June 7th through 9th in St. Louis, Missouri. This is at the beautiful, fun, and family-friendly St. Louis Zoo. No, we won't be scanning animals, at least I don't think so, but this is a great chance to be able to ultrasound adults and children. We're going to have a lot of hands-on time, and a big part of that is because we're going to be doing some on-demand education in advance online, which means that you will get about 40 hours of CMEs out of this, which means that you will get tons of education, tons of learning out of this. And due to requirements, recommendations from different organizations, they are wanting people to get about 36 to 40 hours of CME and ultrasound. You can do that all in one class with Practical POCUS. Plus, if you are someone who's been wanting to get maybe a new pocket ultrasound machine, specifically the Butterfly IQ, because we already have something set up with them, you can go through us, be able to register for the course and get a Butterfly IQ at the same time. Again, check out practicalpocus.com/zoo to learn more. But until next time, continue to provide total care everywhere.